Inform Your Resistance is coming to you this week between regularly scheduled episodes to introduce you to a new podcast series, The Insurgents, Sheriffs. This collaboration between PRA and Quintero Productions uncovers how a national network of far-right sheriffs is mobilizing to create a white Christian republic, one county at a time. Subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts, to catch the rest of the episodes in the series. And without further ado...
I have to tell you, going in there was not what we expected, for sure. Like, we definitely were met with something more than I feel like we fathomed and imagined at the time.
This is Najee Jackson. Back in the year 2020, she was living near Minden, Nevada. It was a hard year for all of us. COVID, economic turmoil, but also the murder of George Floyd. When George Floyd was murdered 4 years ago, the national and international media was quick to respond across the USA and in cities across the world. Well, I want to take you to a small town in Nevada called Minden. This is a story about what happened in that town in the weeks and months immediately after, and how it was all connected to a national network of sheriffs and local militias working hand in hand.
It's bigger than any one of us going out to protest. It's so much bigger than that.
And in the town of Minden, part of Douglas County, its sheriff had some words about the death of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. Quote, "To support this movement is to support violence and to openly ask for it to happen in Douglas County." This was part of a statement from its county sheriff, Dan Coverly, released in late July 2020.
Due to the library's support of Black Lives Matter and lack of trust in the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the library should not feel the need to call 911 for help.
This was from Sheriff Dan Coverly. And to be clear, this is his response to the town's local library expressing support and solidarity for Black Lives Matter in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd.
This is what our ancestors have been fighting for forever since slavery.
After Najee and other people she knew heard this statement, they felt like they needed to do something. They had already been organizing against police violence, but now they came together to protest these comments and actions by their own county sheriff.
Everybody knows about how the area is, so we already kind of wanted to go down there, but then with the statement, it was more like, oh yeah, it's time.
When Najee and fellow activists arrived in Minden on August 8th, she was only able to walk a few steps before something happened.
But there's just crowds and crowds of people around us. We can't even stand on the sidewalk. Like, we're like almost being pushed into like the street.
Hundreds of heavily armed militias and townspeople quickly surrounded her, yelling racial slurs at her and her fellow protesters.
We know the town's history, you know, being a sundown town, and I know what I've dealt with down in the town way before they were emboldened by this, you know, Donald Trump election and things like that.
What you just heard is a sundown siren. It's been used in what are called sundown towns to mark the moment at the end of the day when people of color were forced to leave the town. And what's striking is that up until last year, the town of Minden still sounded their siren at 6 p.m. every day, a siren that had punctured the Minden air since 1917.
It's the election, Donald Trump, that had right-wing, you know, individuals very amped up, feeling very emboldened, reckless.
So the sheriff's office of a small Nevada town is creating division, suspicion, and fear. And it was working closely with a local armed militia to, if need be, violently oppose Black Lives Matter. It's 2024, on the cusp of a presidential election. Following the January 6th insurrection, more than 40% of Americans think that a civil war is likely in the United States. Distrust is rampant. But how have elected officials at various levels of government exacerbated this identity crisis? And why does this matter?
The teapot is about to start you know, boiling over. It's going to start rumbling. Like, it's, the flame is there.
My name is Chloe Cooper. I'm an investigative journalist and research director at a social justice research and strategy center called Political Research Associates. There's been a coordinated and national network of constitutional sheriffs that have impacted people like Najee. While many are familiar with the history of cops and Klan working hand in hand, this series will examine a current national network of sheriffs and militias. They have been setting the foundation to undermine the U.S. as we know it, one county at a time. You're listening to The Insurgents, Sheriffs, Episode 1, The Sundown Siren. Take a moment right now to subscribe to this series. A warning, what you're about to hear might be disturbing. Some of the language that you'll hear is violent. Please be advised. Okay, made it to the library, and I heard that she's here. And I'm about to go meet with her. And grateful this day came. Today? Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
It's been nearly 2 years of trying to speak with Najee in person, and I'm finally meeting her in the spring of 2024, inside a public library. Hey.
Hi.
Good to finally meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well.
Glad I could work out today. I'm meeting Najee in Hayward, California, but we're speaking about an incident that happened nearly 4 years ago, just east of the California-Nevada border. About a 5-hour drive away from here.
I know.
Can you start out introducing yourself?
Well, I am Najee Jackson. I recently got married, so that was pretty exciting. Mother of three. I am a former co-founder of the Power and Liberation Movement in Carson City. That kind of kicked off the whole August 8th incident, so to speak, that you...
The police murder of George Floyd moved Najee into the streets and into organizing in a new way.
We were just thinking, like, why do we get to take it off? Like, what makes us, you know, so special that we just get to sit back and watch everybody else, you know, join the fight?
People did mobilize. People did join the fight to get justice for George Floyd's murder. But Najee couldn't have known all she was really up against in that moment.
Especially given the area that we were in and the area that we're from.
Unlike people from big cities, Najee and her sister and friends were organizing in the middle of a majority white and conservative area, a sea of red, an area where even voicing support for Black Lives Matter can be dangerous.
If you grew up there, you would know how it is being, you know, an individual of color out there.
After weeks of holding weekly protests outside of the state capitol, the county sheriff issued a statement.
A sheriff in Douglas County, Nevada, threatened a library after they posted support for Black Lives Matter.
You heard that right, a library. And that was Sheriff Dan Coverly on a news clip about his statement, which you heard earlier. The library shouldn't bother to contact him for 911 calls after the library in Minden discussed an unreleased diversity statement that mentioned support of Black Lives Matter.
So the way we feel about the statement is that if supporting the Black Lives Matter movement will have them to not protect you, we want to know how they've been protecting their Black citizens. That's the number one question that we have.
Najee and the local chapter of Black Lives Matter decided to take their organizing directly to the sheriff's department in Minden, despite the history of racial violence the town was known for.
Everybody knows about how the area is filled with a bunch of right-wing white folks. We can't let them just sit, you know, get away with saying something like this.
And I remember there was a picture, and I have that flyer. I could probably send that to you. There was a picture of, like, him choking someone out in, like, the year 2000 and something, like, some time ago, before he was sheriff.
You just heard Ilya Arbatman, a local activist from Reno. Ilya and his friend Rosie were two of nearly two dozen people who joined Neje and Minden that day. Ilya had met Neje during the summer of protests. As things started to die down in Reno, the activists were looking for another place to plug in.
There was this like community meeting that the sheriff called that happened on a Wednesday.
So naturally, we're going to try to infiltrate the meeting, you know what I mean? Like, we're not just going to try to...
This meeting has now become infamous, partially because word came out that a national militia group, the Three Percenters, showed up. They're known for working with white supremacist groups. And because the sheriff had called them to prepare for the Black Lives Matter protest.
We sent a couple of our people down there to check it out, and they were in cahoots for sure down there, the deputies and the people in the town.
At the town hall meeting, people in the community were raising alarms, stating
how they're going to protect the town, how they're not going to let Black Lives Matter come in and, you know, destroy the town, essentially getting them, like, ready for battle. They're saying, like, oh, there's people out here fighting for Black Lives Matter in the area. They're like, oh, we got to defend our, you know, we got to defend our territory.
Some people who went to that meeting, lefty, sort of on the BLM side, they wanted to check it out. And what they reported from the meeting is that, like, don't go to Minden. Because, like, the sheriff and these militia nut jobs and all kinds of people, like, they're, like, preparing for war.
The clear sense that the militias and sheriffs were mounting a coordinated response started to set in.
If you go to the protest, like, be careful. He's kind of whipped up the people into this fervor that, like, BLM is coming, like, hide your fucking kids and board up your windows. I remember talking to Rosie about it, and we were like, wait, what? We can't not go, because Neje and Ngejante and those kids, like, they're going to be there. It'd be just, like, four people against that. Like, we have to go. You don't really realize how much these places that are, like, idyllic and beautiful and whatever, like, what a dark side they actually have, you know?
On August 8th, Neje left her two kids at home with her parents on her way to Minden, the town of 3,142 people that she grew up in.
It felt like almost one of our normal protests. You know, we packed up, we met together. A couple of people arrived there before we got there and kind of was like, hey, there's a lot more people here than I think what we were expecting.
It didn't take long for Neje to realize this was not going to be the Black Lives Matter protest she was planning for.
When we actually got there, we were trying to find parking and just seeing, literally, I think there was at least 2,000 people there, I think.
When she arrived on the scene, she saw a huge crowd of pro-Sheriff Dan Coverley supporters gathered in the parking lot of the sheriff's department.
We get out there, instant panic. Instant panic.
Somewhere between hundreds and a couple thousand people were in front of the sheriff's department, armed, waving American flags, Blue Lives Matter flags, holding bats, and dressed in camo gear. Ilya recounts a few gruesome details.
I was like, wait a second. Like, actually, it was probably a lot of Minden was there because not that many people lived there. It was like a tailgate party, basically. You know, people were grilling. But I think it slowly started to dawn on me as we were standing there that, like, there was no sense here of, like, goodwill.
I look at my sister at one point, I'm like, sis, we might die today. Like, it's not funny. We literally might die today.
The militia and people of Minden in front of the sheriff's department that day, a mob that masqueraded as Dan Coverley's posse, far outnumbered the Black Lives Matter protesters. At one point, the mob crossed the street and started to approach Neje, yelling at her. An eerie feeling started to creep in.
We've seen what they're doing down to people in Atlanta, Georgia, you know,
all these like southern states literally being hunted. Why could that not be in Minden, Nevada?
Well done. Oh, for us? Oh, man, talk about being overpowered. This is what happens when you mess with a little town.
There you go.
Don't come here with your bullshit. We came Marxism, all your bullshit.
And that was when those who were supporting Sheriff Dan Coverley, also heavily armed, started to chase her and her fellow activists out of town.
Leave! Get the hell out of our community!
Meanwhile, the sheriff and his deputies were nowhere to be found. The offense continued to mount.
You're already burning down fucking cities and murdering people. What the fuck's next? I'll tell you what's coming. This is coming.
I just remember like something just like turned. Some people started to come across the street. And then it was really weird because then like we were just like surrounded by people. It like very quickly shifted from like everything's okay to like wait.
A number of sheriff supporters who took footage of the day and later posted it on YouTube were wearing 3% militia patches and hats. This is the same militia that showed up at the town hall meeting alongside the sheriff and his deputies.
I felt like everybody in Minden canceled every plan they had for that day and was like, nah, we're gonna run them out of the town. So, you know how you tell your family like something's going on, like, hey, we got this party this weekend, like, come on down, we're having a party this week. This was their version of that, like, hey, they think they're gonna come here and do BLM? Nah, not in my town.
Run for your life.
While Najee and Ilya tried to keep themselves and the people close to them safe, the armed offense escalated.
We were physically assaulted, literally hit with flags, with actual people like throwing, you know, punches, pushing, very physical, right in front of, you know, the deputies and things like that, and nothing was done about it.
For Najee that day, there was nowhere to turn.
We had to be very agile and keep ourselves moving because it was the safest thing that we could do. First of all, our message wasn't being conveyed because the crowd was like surrounding us. So, you know, a couple people got hit with a truck.
It's very much like a fucking creepy horror movie where like, you think that's what it is, and then it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or whatever, where all of a sudden, like, the people turn into, like, crazy, violent racists, like, who are ready to run you out of town, you know?
Running away they are.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
There they go, the brave revolutionary. Viva la revolution!
People that we knew there, you know, growing up there, right? I'm seeing familiar faces. I'm seeing people from high school. I'm seeing like moms and dads, you know, of like people that I knew in high school.
God bless, man. I love it when we all come together.
We're all bunch of former military buddies. God bless America. That's all I can say.
Forever and always. I'm with you.
During the summer of 2020, Political Research Associates tracked at least 400 incidents across the country of far-right groups, militias, and mobs violently intimidating racial justice protesters. What happened that day in Minden wasn't isolated. Only weeks later, Kyle Rittenhouse, a member of a militia that sought to be deputized by the Kenosha County Sheriff, fatally shot two Black Lives Matter protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a demonstration of what clashes like what happened in Minden did turn into in other locations. At the time of these protests, the Minden sundown siren continued to ring daily through these very streets at 6 p.m. A siren the people of this town sought to preserve for national heritage, even after Washoe tribal leaders called attention to the haunting daily reminder of the town's violent past.
Stop the siren! Stop the siren! Stop the siren!
Towns across the country became sundown towns, especially during the Jim Crow era, particularly to keep Black people and Native Americans from living there. And segregation tended to be enforced through intimidation and violence by law enforcement and vigilantes. The town of Minden finally stopped sounding the siren in the fall of 2023.
So in the aftermath of all that, what I started hearing was that there was the appearance of coordination directly between the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and this large group of supporters of the sheriff.
We're hearing from Bert Johnson, a senior correspondent with KUNR, the NPR member station in Nevada.
So I put together a records request with Douglas County Sheriff's Office. At that point, you know, I had developed a pretty good Rolodex of people who were involved in the militia scene and involved in organizing those counter protests against BLM.
And one day, the sheriff's department finally responded.
And I ended up getting this huge trove of email records. There's one email in particular that is like very blunt, saying, I just had a call from Mike Garcia. Mike Garcia was one of the organizers with the 3% aligned militias who had been tracking. He's the one who brought in the militia groups to help us out. And so there in black and white was like a pretty direct admission that they had coordinated in advance.
The trail of documents started to reveal clear collaboration between the sheriff and local militias. The sheriff's department admitted to knowing that the Three Percenters militia would be in Minden on August 8th, and that the Three Percenter militia were, quote, helping them out. Bert's investigation into the ties of sheriffs and militias at the time was never published, but he generously shared his findings for the first time with me for this episode. And as it turned out, the Douglas County Sheriff Dan Coverley became an unofficial spokesperson for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association.
I covered an event he did where he appeared alongside members of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association.
Yes, the CSPOA. That's the network this whole series is about. A national network of sheriffs co-founded by Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the Oath Keepers, the one who's been convicted of seditious conspiracy for his role planning the January 6th Capitol insurrection. CSPOA has been operating in Nevada, often behind the scenes, for more than a decade. Indeed, coordination between sheriffs and militias had been growing over the years, with a foundational meeting right in the state of Nevada at the end of January 2012. A former sheriff named Richard Mack gathered sheriffs, militias, and far-right leaders from across the country at a convention center in this very state, in Las Vegas. Their goal? To take the country back, one county at a time. The Insurgents Sheriffs is created and hosted by me, Chloe Cooper. This episode was also written by me. Audio production, audio editing, sound design, sound engineering, sound mix, story editing, story development, and consulting production by Quintero Productions. All under their client-facing trademark, Quintero Transeunte Productions. Olivia Lawrence Wellman was our production assistant and creative consultant. Additional production assistance was performed by Renee Martin. Original score by Akash Desai. Special thanks to Najee Jackson, Bert Johnson, Ilyar Botman, as well as to Ed Andrews for the use of his footage for this episode. The Insurgents Sheriffs is executive produced by Political Research Associates and Quintero Productions. Thanks for listening.